Open your Bible, if you would, on Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I want to make you aware that the classes on Wednesday, they are state license classes, and so therefore the material is authenticated by the state and cannot be duplicated without you paying the $360 fees. But you can have the material if you are in class. And that's the deal I have done with the state. And they accepted my modifications of the material with the Bible so that they can be through the American Association of Christian Counselors, the Psychiatrists and Association. So I'm using this material and thought in changing to Sunday night to get more people on it. But the language sometimes gets a little heavy because it's very blunt. And so better the adults be only on the class, because the material is very open to think in every aspect of the marriage life. And sometimes the language is very destructive. The material is a collection of 20 years of studies of the state and the United States on marriage life, calling all the psychiatrists and psychologists to enforce again marriage life as a healthy thing for America. And so good that they accepted the Bible as part of the curriculum to answer their questions. And we have 5,000 questions to answer. So I did it in a month, and then I want to share it with you, touch your life sometimes so deeply and so profound. And Pastor Thompson is going to help me tonight, and she's going to have a good sermon. And so hope you listen to him. And God willing, we start a new book of the Bible on February in the evening. And we're going to study heavy theology in the morning, three sermons about the attributes of God, God at work, I call it. But in theology, it's called the attributes of God, what he does. Now, today, we're still on January. And see, my radio mind always was about 6 months ahead of what I was doing. But we're still in January, and we are on this beautiful Sunday. And we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The whole series is Solomon's evaluation of life. And as you remember, Solomon talks about life itself. Talks about pleasure on the last Sunday, and I don't think, as a matter of fact, I collected my outline, and as soon as I have the CD on last Sunday, I will send it to the Playboy magazine just to let them know that there is a guy much better than Hefner and anybody else. That's Solomon, and that he comes to the conclusion that all of these fantasies is really an illusion of life and is useless. Now, we need to confront the world. If we're going to really face America, we need to confront America with the truth. And that's what it is. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about, you know the chapter well, because talks about the evaluation of time. Actually, he's talking something else. Not solo, the evaluation of time is just the tools. But he's talking about something serious to each one of us, and it's very theological and very deep and profound. The first thing that we're going to do is a glance back at the findings of Solomon. I'm going to use again Manahan's Bible, who has been, the rights have been purchased by the New Century Version. You know, people in America, they have so much money. They buy manuscripts from this and the other, and they publish the way they want it. But at least I got the manuscripts of my professor and so on. But so it's going to be just slightly different than yours, but it's going to be right as a Hebrew understand what the Bible said to the English-speaking world. A glance back at his findings, an outline of the sermon is found in the bulletin also. In chapter 1, verse 18, he tells us that he was unable to find satisfaction at intellectual pursuit. You remember that in chapter 1 and in verse 18. With much wisdom comes much disappointments of much travel. All right. Then he found laughter a pleasure, and pleasure nothing short of irritating. And you remember in chapter 2, in verse 11, he said, but then I look at what I have done, and I thought about all the hard work. Suddenly I realized it was useless. And then remember verse 17, so I hate life. And this is a man who was not cheap for pleasure. As I said, he did whatever he wants to because he was the richest man in the world. And he turned to what many men turn today to wine, women, and song. People think that they do this today as new. It's not new. Mankind is always the same, and he turned to that only to enter into a greater boredom. He did not want that. He attempted to fulfill his life with a harem of beautiful concubines, and he don't even want to. He then began to collect exquisite gems and turned to be negative. All these diamonds and all of these things, he cared less. And here is his conclusion in chapter 2 and in verse 15. This is his conclusion and all his findings. Thought to myself, what happened to a fool will happen to me too, he said. So what is the reward of being wise? I said to myself, being wise is also useless. And so wisdom, for wisdom's sake, the pursuit of academic degrees is what you have in life, is useless. It's useless. So that's a glance at his findings. So, chapter 1 talks about his plannings. Chapter 2, a glance at his works. And since Solomon was in possession of all his mental faculties, remember the Bible said, and my wisdom is still with me. It's like saying in today's words, my mental faculties is still with me. He decided to put his mind to work now. And as you read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and as our brother have read that, you learn that life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you want to, but you only spend it once. Now, what about this business called time? First of all, I said to myself, what is it? So I sent some letters to newspapers and so on, asking them, what is time? And nobody knows, except Socrates. The best definition about time is time, say Socrates, is a duration, a stretched duration of time in which things happen. Time is in a stretched duration in which period things happen. That's the best definition of time. Whether we are awake or asleep, whether we are conscious or unconscious, whether we are serving it well or wasting time, time is a duration, a measurable period in which things really happen. Now, why time is important? Time is significant because it is so rare. Nobody has time. You know this? You call people and say, well, I say, oh yeah, I don't have time, they said. Time is so rare. Nobody have time. And so it's very important. It is completely irretrievable. You can never repeat or retrieve it. There are no such things as instant literal replay. That happens only on your television when you watch football. That's only the time that happens. But not in your life. Time is relative. For example, 2 weeks in Puerto Vallarta is different than 2 weeks under diet. So what Solomon's mind does, I wonder, I said, Solomon, you're a genius. How do you measure time? And I asked people, how do you measure time? And there are about 10,000 ways to measure time. You measure by your American Western clock. My office has the Hebrew clock. And how do you measure time, Solomon? I really want to learn from you. He measured time according to its events. He doesn't measure time by 10 o'clock to 5, 5 to 10. He measured time by events, which is a wonderful thing to do. He measured time according to all its events that come to his mind. And I'm going to go over it with you. So you have your Bible, and I go over it with you, all these events, and how he measured time, and what those times means to us. And then the conclusion is going to be you and God alone. All right? Here's what it is. Pay attention to it. Verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything. There is a time for everything. And everything on earth has, it is a special season. All right? You cannot grow tomatoes any time except the time the tomatoes grow. There are some trees on the equator that give you oranges the whole year around, but that's very unusual. There is a time where oranges grow, all right? Mandarin is the same. On the equator line of Brazil, the trees are on the reverse sometimes. But time is time appointed for everything. Did you saw the full moon the other night? Man, oh man, I had to go to the roof and watch it. And I said, God, you are there. And I'm here. People think I'm really lucid. But I tell you, it's just so good. Now, why the moon is there and not the sun? Why there is 24 hours in your watch and my watch for the moon and the sun to cycle? Because God did it. Read Genesis chapter 1. Science don't want to read it, but it had no explanation. It's always because there's like, they go all over this. But the Bible said God put a light in the evening and a light in the morning. And look at how old they are. And they are not wasted. They never fail. They never, 1 second, they never fail. If it's not God that put it, who put it? So verse 1, there is an appointment time for everything. Verse 2, you do not have the control of your life. There is a time to be born and a time to die. You have no control of your life. You cannot tell your mama inside now. God tells you when you come out. And God tells you when you die. You have no control of your life. Verse 2, you don't mess around with Mother Nature. Look at verse 2 again. There is a time to plant and a time to pull up plants. You don't pull up plants in summer, all right? You do it in autumn, all right? Unless you don't know what you're doing, all right? And you don't expect flowers of this plant, who is a summer plant, in winter time. All right? In our home, we changed the garden twice. One for the winter. We just finished the winter garden. And then when I come in, I save it in a place, and they die, and then the next winter, they come out again with deeper and thick flowers. And I take pictures, and I say, this is my babies. Just fantastic. All right? And just my wife finished the deck with all the winter flowers. I like red and green. And I took a picture on it. And that's fantastic. And I go to the nursery and I argue about this and how the nitrogen will go in this way and the other. And always the same. Well, this is the season for this and this is the season for that. And you take those plants out in this season and you put these plants out in plant in the new season. And so the Bible said there is a time to plant and a time to pull up the plants. Verse 3, life seems fixed between a battlefield and a hospital. Look at verse 3. There is a time to kill, the battlefield, and a time to heal. And as you get older, you visit more doctors than anybody else. It's not that I'm older, it's just telling. Verse 3 again, God's building design. Tear it down first and then build up. Look at this. This is the way you built. Now, you learned that in engineering, but before engineering, God tells you right here in verse 3. There is a time to destroy or to pull down. Destroy is the heavy Hebrew word used over there, to really put the gun and blow out those foundations. And there is a time, say verse 3, to build. You know, it is beautiful. You cannot put Christianity on top of your philosophy. Your philosophy has to go first. You cannot put Christianity together with your belief. Christianity, the belief in Christ doesn't share any room with anybody. You have to destroy your foundation and put this new foundation in your life. Spiritually. Oh, physically, you know, you study in physics. You cannot put a heavy weight in a soil who do not receive the weight of what you're going to put on. And so man has to excavate and make a foundation. The foundation is very simple. If you put 10 pounds and the soil is 2, the foundation has to be big enough that when that load comes in, distribute among that and only the floor receive 2 pounds. So simple. In other words, you cannot build your life on unbelief. You have to build your life on belief. All right? You cannot have this book as a philosophy book, a guideline for my life in the Bible. They have to be destroyed. Out. Blow out. That's how God is. Somebody told me the Muslims are terrible. Oh, more terrible is God. Really? Yeah, he doesn't share his life with anybody. Remember Joshua? Kill those people, he said. Because they were, God knew that those people will not believe. Now here's what it is. Verse 3 is very clear. There's a time to destroy and a time to build. Don't try to attach Christianity to your life. Don't touch to attach Christianity by coming to church, sitting in church. Oh, how nice. This is so beautiful. People are so good. And I'm part of the Christian body. You are not part of the Christian body. Only when your foundation is gone and then Christ is settled in your heart. And your belief. That sounds like Muslim. Yes, that sounds like Muslim, but that's what it is. I told my friends, Muslims, who want to build the church over there. You go over there, I'll argue with you. He said, we like to kill the infidels. And what the Bible said, don't touch the infidels. And I showed him the word infidels. And I'm told, so they don't respect so far. God's building. You know, we are not to be afraid. We have to tell them the truth to people. He said, we can live with everybody. No, the Bible said, God live with God only. Verse 4, there must be balance in your life. Look at verse 4. There is a time to cry and a time to laugh. We all learn that in life. When you are little, you only learn to laugh and cry when your mother said, no, you cannot do that. But as you grow older, the departure of somebody in your life, I remember as today when my mother called me from Argentina and said, Daddy went home. Now, why my mother will call me 11,000 miles away and tell me that my father went home? I understood what she said. It's painful. Raquel got the same call one day. It's a pay price, a very high price when you live in a foreign country of your relatives. So there's a time to cry and there is a time to really laugh. All right. Now, verse 5. Verse 4. Life bounds between mourning and happiness. Look at verse 4 again. There is a time to cry and a time to laugh. There is a time to be sad and a time to dance. So there are moments, as a pastor, I have a spectrum of that in the congregation. There is time when this family celebrates something and when this family mourn about something. And it's proper. It's nothing unusual. And God said, this is how life is. Verse 5, life brings separation and reconstruction. Look at verse 5. There is a time to throw away stones and a time to gather them. Very, very clever. There is a time to hug and a time not to hug. And so there is a time of separation. All right. Verse 6. Life is based on agree to disagree. Look at verse 6. There is a time to look for something and a time to stop looking for it. Agree to disagree. Have you heard that? Okay, we cannot get together, so we're going to agree that we cannot get together about this issue. Verse 6, life is real. Not always you will be the winner. There is a time to keep things and a time to throw things away. I think that's written for all the Americans to go to their garage, and there is a time to throw things away. We have accumulated in our garage all kinds of things that we thought we needed. And still some of my things are not being used yet. And they are in my garage. So there is a time to throw away. Verse 7, there is a time to clean up the garage of your life. Look at verse 7. There is a time to tear apart and a time to sew together. In other words, there is a time where you have to come to conclusion, this is wrong with my life and cannot be anymore in my life. And I'm going to tear that apart, and I'm going to bring the graciousness of God. Verse 7, there is a time to be silent and a time to speak. So there is a time to be wise and not a speech. Doesn't mean you learn a new vocabulary. It means you shut up. There are times I can talk, and there are times I just listen. And you cannot say anything because you know what you're going to say doesn't make any difference. Verse 8, there is a time to put into effect justice. Verse 8, there is a time to love and a time to hate. And somebody in my Spanish class not too long ago, 3 or 4 classes here, they told me, I read in the Bible that God hates evil right here. I said, sir, let me explain it. You don't have to explain it. I'm reading this, he said. I don't know, Leo, you remember that big guy. I thought he was going to punch me. He was so mad. He said, I thought that God was only love and he hates. I said, perhaps, I said, outside, I know you are mad. He said, why? Because you have something in your heart that you know is wrong and you thought that God was a floppy, floppy, jelly, jelly. And now you discover that God hates the evil of your heart. Man, I thought they were going to start punching each other. You know, some people see the truth in the heart and they cannot take it. So how can God, I said, but you are not guilty. He said, well, thank God. Otherwise he's going to punch me. He said, you're not guilty. God, can I take this Bible? He said, please take it with you. God said, yes, sir. God is not mashy-mashy, is going to tolerate evil. God is not about business of evil, it's about business of a life that is clean before him. And if we hide evil in our heart, God hates it. That's God, justice. Then verse 8, there is a time to be a peacemaker, not at any price. Look at this. There is a time for war, and a time for peace. I read and I listened in Hebrew the Declaration of Peace of Israel. It's not what the English said. The Prime Minister of Israel said, we unconditionally close our battlefield for now. And we will live at peace until a new bomb comes into our area. And then we had no choice but to flat the Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, he said, it's a temporary peace. In other words, you cannot compromise for peace. You are at peace with God or you are not at peace with God. The Bible said we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't say through church membership or through baptism or through this. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading the Catholic catechism, and they said we have peace with God through the church. So I went to see the Father, and I said, now look, you got a mistake in the Equatorian. It's called Equatorian Catechism of 1962. They said we have peace with God through the church, and it's through Jesus. Look at Romans 5:1. And he looked at me and said, do you think you are Luther in this town? He said, just stop it to show the Bible to those people in O. Henry restaurant. See, if you don't read the Bible, you, then you don't get the right place. So Solomon is saying to us, now look, we are very limited. We are together in this, but I see myself as I think about life that is black or white. One commentator from Germany said about Bush, President Bush, to leave on Tuesday. He said, there is a man in America who is too tall, he said, because for him life was black or white, no gray. That's what Germany will remember President Bush, he said. And so God is black and white, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot go and twist your life and think of God, well, God likes it. We make God like a little puppet. Okay, yeah, lie. No, God is a God of justice. And he has an advantage on us. He knows our heart before we even speak. So that's what his mind is. He's dialoguing himself in the drama of seeing his limitations. So I wonder what his conclusion will be. Here they are in verse 11. Maybe the reading here differ a little bit strong with yours, but it's pure Hebrew. Here it is, verse 11. A glance at his conclusion. God has put in mankind a curiosity about the future. Look at verse 11. God has given them a desire to know the future. No wonder people want to go to the moon. No wonder people have a telescope over there with billions of dollars a year to keep it so that we can see the new stars and the new galaxies and come back and said, boy, there is another sun. Don't spend money. Read the book of Job. There are 20 solar systems in the Bible. We cannot see it, but they are. And they found another one. And they said, wow, it's amazing. Why mankind has this instinct, I want to know where I came from. Why mankind said, I want to know what's beyond the sky. Because God, said the Bible, has given a desire to know the unknown. Verse 11, God does everything appropriate at his time. Look at here, he does everything just right on time. Right on time. Sometimes we think God is late, don't we? Somebody is waiting for the work and is praying and happened 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. And they get, where is God? There's no answer. But God does everything right in time, right at the time. And then verse 11, God has blocked man from being God. Look at verse 11. He does everything just right on time. But people can never completely understand what he is doing. But people can never, said verse 11, completely understand what God is doing. Wow. Wow. Now put things in real perspective. But people want to play God. Why? Do you know why people want to play God? The answer is on the first page of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Remember the temptation in verse 6. Verse 5, he said to the women in verse 4, but the snake or the serpent said to the women, you will not die. Verse 5, God knows that if you eat of the fruit from that tree, you will learn about good and evil, and you will be God. That's where that come from. doesn't come from the stress of life or things like that. People want to be God of their own life because sin does this. Sin brings you such a kind of independence in your mind that you don't want to be accountable to anybody except to yourself, which that means God. God is only accountable to yourself. There's only one individual in the world that is accountable to himself. It is God. And so mankind from the very beginning wants to be in that way. So now remember, Ecclesiastes 3 said mankind is limited. He doesn't know when he died. He doesn't know where he's born. He doesn't know what's beyond the sky. He's very limited. But mankind wants to be accountable to himself only and not to God. I have news for you. If you go now to the very last book of the Bible. Now, look in Revelation 22, what the Bible says about God's programming for the future. Okay? Let me see if I... Verse 21, chapter 21, excuse me, in verse 27. Chapter 21 and verse 27. Look at what the Bible says. Nothing unclean and no one who does shamefully things or tell lies will ever go into heaven. Nothing unclean. And so therefore we have here mankind independence and then we have God holiness and there is no relationship from one to another. And so Solomon, in a desperate need as a philosopher, he want to understand what's going on in my life. I'm so bright. I'm so genius. And still in failure. And still depressed of my consequences. That my findings are not satisfying me. What do I need? That's Solomon. Well, what Solomon need is God. What you need and I need is God. I don't mean a God made by man or by a church. A God who is a God. And the Bible tells us about it in John Gospel in chapter 1. Tell clearly in verse 18. John Gospel chapter 1 verse 18 said, no one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, is very close to the Father, and he has shown us who's God-like. God the Son has shown us God the Father by his presence on this world. So if you want to see God, you have to see Jesus. You cannot see God directly like Moses did. You cannot see God directly like Moses was praying and talking like Adam did. You cannot see him eye to eye. Moses can hear the voice of God, cannot see God, but he can hear the voice of God. You can no longer do that. Why? Because the Son, say here, is the one who showed him to me. So then, where is the Son so that I can find God? Well, you need to go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. And then the Bible tells you where you can find Jesus. Then I said, look, I have come. It is written of me in the volume of the book. And this volume that you and I have in our hand called the Bible, 66 books of the Bible, it is written about God. Jesus will tell you, Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Genesis talks about God is going to come down and be born of a woman. Exodus will tell you God is going to offer his own blood to clean your sins. Numbers is going to tell you God's going to free you out of the land. Deuteronomy is going to tell you he's going to renew you as God give us the new law and so on. And you go on and on and on. And each book of the Bible flourish Christ Jesus. And so Solomon's evaluation of time is this. Time is showing to me that I as an individual I'm short in seeing God. That I am not so free as I thought I was. That I am not so powerful as I thought I was. They are not so independent as I was. I cannot determine the future as I thought I could. Because I'm limited. I need to find God. My brother and my sister, you have God. And I hope that now you are free in Him and you know your future. But if you do not have God, my encouragement is to read this book called the Bible. The difference between the Bible and any other book is this. Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, and hearing the word of God. As you read this book, somewhere, somehow, a verse that maybe speak only to you will show you Christ Jesus and will show you salvation and relationship with God. If you have not met God, you could. By reading this Bible, by asking yourself questions, by calling me and say, Pastor, what this said, I'm counseling somebody in the East Coast, and the only thing I do is I send questions about, what about this verse of the Bible, and what about this verse of the Bible? And the person said, oh, I like you because you don't tell me what to believe. You tell me questions. I'm discovering myself. As long as you use the Bible, I cannot counsel you if you don't use the Bible. And more discovered, then suddenly said, please don't write me anymore because I discover I'm bad. And I get my hands up. You see, the Bible will guide you, and suddenly you discover yourself. What are you going to do? Believe or not? That's the key. When you believe that you cannot save yourself, that you cannot be in an encounter with God by yourself, then you believe in the one who is the great Jew, Jesus Christ, who died for our sin and rose again, and He issued you into the presence of God. Without His presence, you're dead. So my friend, Solomon said, boy, smart as I am, better, the Bible said, of the whole earth, He is the one. He's the genius. I have shortcomings. Unlimited. But if you're a Christian, you are unlimited. Unlimited. Thank you, Father, that when we found Christ, we have found the unlimited life, which end one day in heaven. We thank you, Father, for the glory of Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank you, Father, that He and He alone have touched our life. We pray for our friends who are good people, but they are not good enough for you until they face you. Solomon faced himself and he saw his shortcomings. Lord, you put that desire to know the future so that we can know Jesus, who gave us a future in heaven, the new earth and the new Jerusalem. Oh God, how I pray that you bless the congregation, bless those who listen over the radio, internet, and those who listen in the CD and tape ministry. That they may have peace of mind saying, that's what I need. Trust the Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
That overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness now will say, soul. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no Jesus is the lighthouse and
all around us. They say tear that old lighthouse down, for the big ships, they don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing around. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw an old light. Yes, a light from that old lighthouse standing way, way up there on the hill.
And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. Tell me, where would this ship be if it wasn't for the lighthouse? Where would this ship be?
So lovely our church and music. You people have been gifted, even the tiny little aunt over there, how do you can see it from the piano and playing. It's just so, so beautiful because preaching and praising goes together, you know that? Will you stand please for the benediction? Lord, we bless your heart that you illuminate our mind with information from your Bible. But you do not want us just to acquire information and store information in our mind. You want us to take action. And so I pray that those who believe not may consider this. And may you study themselves this and come to the conclusion, I need that God of the Bible. Jesus is available 24 hours, 7 days a week. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. May you provide for us the information of our shortcomings, but also you provide for us the information of our liberation in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the choir and the desire to praise you. Thank you for everyone who have come here. May the presence of God and the peace of God fill their heart. In Jesus we pray. Amen.